Today we have a special message today. Miss Stephanie and Rhonda will be delivering the message as we celebrate our United Methodist Women's Sunday. So
I just have a couple little things to say before you watch the video clip. This is week four of our five-week journey of the Living Generously. And there is a key to living generously. And we're going to hear about that in today's video. It's not just about giving away some money, but a true change of heart. So as we change our hearts, we will need to change our perspective. So watch and enjoy and engage your heart in this video. I don't know how to...
No, that's unacceptable. I beg your pardon. Why am I paying you? Well, if you can't fix it, then I'll find somebody who will. That's not how it was explained to me. Fine, fix it, then get back to me.
Hey, it's been great having you guys down at the soup kitchen lately.
Cassie's on her way back down there now, actually.
Yeah, I heard.
I suppose you heard all that other stuff, too, huh? It's about our trusts.
Trust is very important. The Bible has a lot to say about it.
No, I mean trusts with an S. You know, planning our future, financial security.
That's what I'm talking about, too.
I've got this intentionally defective grantor trust.
Intentionally defective?
Yeah.
I think I see your problem.
Hello? Yes? What? I'm on my way right now. It's Cassie.
I'm looking for Cassie Donovan. I'm her husband.
Sir, I'm going to need you to wait in the waiting room. I'm sorry. I'll have someone come out and talk to you.
No, I need to see her now. Where is she?
Sir, you can't...
Mr. Donovan. I'm Dr. Harrison. Are you treating my wife? The police said something about her being mugged. Why don't we find somewhere to have a seat? I don't need to sit. Is she okay? Mr. Donovan, your wife has suffered a subdural hematoma. Now, our main concern is that the hematoma could continue to bleed and put pressure on her brain, cutting off the flow of oxygen. She's in an induced coma right now to keep that thing happening.
Coma? What are you talking about?
An induced coma. We hope it won't be for very long.
I need to see her now!
Mr. Donovan, I know this isn't easy for you, but you need to allow us to do our jobs. Why don't you go for a walk? We have your number. We'll give you a call just as soon as you can come back.
Mr. Donovan, your friend asked me to tell you he went to the top floor if he needed him.
Ray, what are you doing?
Just getting some fresh air and perspective.
All the fundraisers and dinners we've had for this place, and they won't let me see her? How do you know about this place?
Well, there was a season when they could have charged me rent for all the time I spent up here.
What are you talking about?
Nadja, my wife. She was here. Cancer.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
It's okay. I never came up in the middle of bulging, I guess. It was before I was homeless. Actually, it's mostly why I was homeless. I I spent a good chunk of 3 months up here, hiding from the linoleum and fluorescent lights. I would look out there, see all those buildings full of people who had so much more than I had. More money, more health. And I hated them for it. One day, when I was in a particularly cranky mood, Roger kicked me out of the room and told me, "You're surpassing cancer on my list of biggest buzzkills." Then she handed me her Bible. She says, "You take that book and you go up to that roof. And don't you come back in here until you have a good word to share." I tell you what, God gave me that good word too. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's like an unscalable wall in his own imagination. We build up those walls with our jobs, our money. We trust in trust, but they're not real. When your wife gets cancer, or is it an accident? You learn that real quick.
How do you know when we're building imaginary walls? Or when we're just being wise with our money?
I guess when we stop thinking of it as our money. Why don't we pray for cancer? To the real strong tower.
I'm not used to mics, so can you hear me? Okay. I think that you could hear me if I didn't use it. I just have to say to Abby, I think Jesus would say to the people of Paris, "Je t'aime." Does that sound right? I love you, and that's in the familiar sense. Jesus loves the people of Paris. Okay, we've been joining Frank Donovan for 4 weeks. This is the conclusion in the fifth week. The leadership team has adopted this program of the 5 weeks. And I'm pretty much going to stick to what we have agreed to present for these 5 weeks. So some of this message is not my words, but there's a few things that I do want to add that are mine. When I get to speak, I like to speak from the lectionary, and a lot of our smaller churches will do that, and we have a little more freedom to divert in the bigger church here. But there's always a passage from the Old Testament, a Psalm, Proverb, and then two from the New Testament, usually a gospel and a something Paul's written. And so I'm going to close with something that I have prepared from last week's lectionary when I was in a class. But right now we're going to focus on what you just saw in that video. So Frank Donovan and their family are on a journey for generosity. Frank saw what giving the first and best was like in that first video when his son gave his favorite old-fashioned toy to the little boy. And Frank was convicted of his heart problem regarding his love of money. And the last time we saw Frank, he was starting to get it. He was helping in the soup kitchen. Today, we are talking about the stress that Frank had. In the very beginning, he got a phone call that something was happening to his money. There is money can be a protection for us in our world. We put some money in the bank, we save it, we try to use our money wisely. But sometimes when bad things happen to us, the money is not enough to get us through. There is two different ways to look at this. There's pressures from the outside world, and then there's stress inside. And God does not want us to have that stress. We have to deal with the pressure and the trials, but Jesus has told us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So Jesus gives us peace, not the kind of peace that's in the world. And right now our world is not a very peaceful place anyway. But when we lack that peace, it's time to make sure that we're doing what's in line with what God wants us to do. So let's look at the gardener Ray. He exudes peace. But we got a glimpse of his life. It wasn't always easy. And he had to learn this lesson. Now let's take a look at Frank. He has an impressive life. He's built some impressive walls, some good financial plan he's put together. He's clearly a wealthy guy with a nice house, a pool, investments, everything. In the first video we saw, his financial planner was impressed with him. "You've done a good job with your money." But in this one, in this story today, we learn that when push comes to shove, our money cannot take care of the problem. So the investments couldn't save Cassie from being mugged, and the retirement plan does not take care of his wife in surgery. It might help pay for the good doctor, but it's not going to take care of it. Our Proverbs that Ray quoted for us was, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city, but like a high wall, his own imagination." The key verse for today is, I've lost my page. The key verse for today is, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe." So I was told in a Go Preach class never to sing in the message unless I was a trained singer, and I'm not. But I will tell you, that song, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and they are safe," that stuck in my head because I learned that and it was put to music. Okay, Ray learned the difference in the tower living. The view, the perspective, the strength. The walls easily crumble, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, I'm going to tell you that my strong tower is Jesus. Jesus is my strong tower, and he's where I run to be safe. Ray gives us another little glimpse in this conversation with Frank. Frank says, now, how can we tell the difference of building a strong, being wise with our money, or building a tower that's sort of an idolatry? And Ray says, well, maybe when you stop thinking about that being your money. I thought that was quite an important key. Okay. I do want to mention something. I think I got my paper out of order, but Frank has built these impressive walls. And financial planning is a good thing to do. I have to say that, and I have to mean that. I have a brother that spends a lot of time in financial planning and helping people make decisions. It is not a bad thing. The Bible is full of advice about money. And as we've stated before, God is not really trying to get our cash. He wants our heart. So Frank is finding out that the place for him to put his confidence is in God. Now, here's something else that happens. Ray has revealed his problem with rich people. He had a wife dying of cancer. That's a hard, sad thing. The bills from the cancer led him into losing his job and his home. He became homeless. He had a point in his life where he hated the rich man. And that, there's two extremes. We can be a little too poor, we can be a little too rich, and both are not a safe place to be. But then for a lot of us, we settle in the middle, and we have to trust God too. We can't really say, well, I don't have to worry, I'm not rich. I don't have to worry, I'm not poor. We still have to trust God. In Proverbs, they kind of respond to this middle-of-the-road thing. Give me, it's Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Give me neither poverty nor your riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who needs the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of my God. So the advice from Proverbs is to trust God daily for what we need. Make good financial decisions, but give our heart to Him. So the closing for this message for the video was, are you hurting? Are you stressed? Do you long for peace in your life? My advice to you is to run to the tower. Run to Jesus. He is the one that can help you. Now, I'd like to read this scripture that sums it up, sums everything up that we need to do for God. Luke 10, 25 to 28. There was an occasion where Jesus was speaking, and an expert in the law, who was a pretty smart man, stood up and said, teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, Jesus knew that was a smart guy. He knew he was trying to trip him up. So he said, well, what does the law say? What's written in the law? And the man answered, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Well, the guy had answered the question correctly. So Jesus responded, do this and you will live. So that is our advice from Christ, how to live. We run to Him with our troubles, and we put God first, and we love others as we love ourselves. Now, I'm going to deter from our official program here and just say, Jesus watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. That was the verse that I got from last week's lectionary that I developed my lesson from the Go Preach class last week, and I thought, I just have to tell you that. But the Bible is full of verses about money. In fact, more than maybe we want to read sometimes. But Jesus watched the crowd. When you come to the offering time and you make your trip back to the little church, Jesus is watching the crowd put the money into the treasury. So what is a treasure? What do you treasure? The definition I gleaned from the concordance is that a treasure is a thing of highly estimated value. Something I value is my treasure. In the context of treasury in this passage, it's the storerooms that were provided in the temple for various kinds of offerings. Now, around here, our temple, Faith Community, United Methodist, we have a treasury. There's a hall. In that hallway back there, there's a closet full of shoes. We deposit our offerings of shoes that we want to share with people into that room, and we give them to the people that need the shoes. So I was thinking of that example. Jesus was watching people put their offerings into the treasury, but He is watching not only the financial kinds of giving, the actual cash or the checks that go into that money box. He is watching us give the things that we treasure. Now, Jesus treasures us. We show Him the value that we place on the treasure of Him saving us as we live and yield ourselves to Him. And we use the treasures in our life to serve Him and serve others in need. Now, I know that God has promised in Scripture to the poor and the needy that He will take care of them. Well, here's a little secret. God lives inside of me. He lives inside of you. And when we are doing something for someone else, we are the way God is helping those people. And I like that idea. So I want you to think about how you can use a treasure of yours to serve and glorify God in your life. And I'm going to tell you something about my treasure. But while I'm telling you this, I want to call your attention to the back of your bulletin. I would like for you to think about these things this week. What is one thing in that video clip that speaks to you? What is a scripture that was used today in worship that stirs you? What is one thing that you can do this week because you've seen that video that prompts you to do something for someone? And what is one thing you will do as you respond to Scripture this week? Now, I'm going to tell you what I treasure. Some of the things that I treasure. Rhonda and I, my sister here, we were asked to speak by Ann Ledbetter, who put our whole United Methodist Sunday together, because we serve on the leadership team. So she asked us to answer a couple questions. What led me to accept this position? 3 years ago, I did feel a call to serve in this way. I was very excited about the prescriptions that we were given when we went through the pilot program. I'm presently preparing to serve my third year on the leadership team, and I look forward to the leading of this group next year. On the leadership team, we are ready to view phase two possibilities for our congregation, and that's an exciting time to be in leadership and see where we prayerfully look for where God would lead us. Personally, as far as faith community, I'm involved in Sunday school and the Stephen ministry. And VBS in the summer, one of my favorite things I do all year is I am the Bible verse lady. So children say their memory verse to me over and over, and that is such a joy. The word is in their heart, and I hear it over and over, and I love that part. I also get to be a part of ladies' Bible study once in a while. Outside of our congregation, more into our community, I can share with you that I have a passion for supporting people that are in recovery from alcohol and other addictions. And because of the nature of that problem, it also leads me to have a soft heart and to support and care for people afflicted by poverty and homelessness. My love for the Word of God has led me into some lay speaking, and I get to go to Eliezer a couple times a year, and I love that. And then the lay speaking has drawn me into being in the certified lay ministry class. I'm presently there. I was for class yesterday with some wonderful people that I'm just growing to love in fellowship. I feel like the coursework I'm taking there is preparing me for continued service here at Faith Community and here in my community. At this point, I just want to thank my sisters, Jamie, who leads here. We have sisters in music up there, and in the other service, we have a lot of women doing different things for this morning. I want to thank you for the chance to let us serve. And I'm going to turn this over to my sister, Rhonda, because she is ready to share some of her heart with you. Thank you.
I just left it on. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you for your service. Good morning. As Stephanie said, my name is Rhonda Cook, and I'm speaking to you this morning on behalf of the leadership team. This being United Methodist Women's Sunday, we thought it might be a good idea to let you know that we're well represented on the leadership team. Including myself, there are currently 8 women serving on the team, and that's a little bit more than half. I remember receiving the call asking if I would be willing to serve. I wasn't sure exactly what the leadership team or what I'd be getting myself into, or what they did or what I'd be getting myself into, but I said yes, and the rest, as they say, is history. At the first meeting, I didn't just get my feet wet. I jumped right in and agreed to accept the nomination of secretary for the team. I was voted in, and I've been serving in that capacity for almost 2 years. In addition to serving as secretary, I've been given a chance to serve in other ways. In fact, as part of the team, I've been given many opportunities to connect, grow, and serve. Unless you're new to this church, you probably know that our mission as a church is to connect hearts to God, grow closer to Jesus through Bible study, prayer, classes, and small groups, and to serve in ways that say thank you to God for His goodness in our lives. One of the ways I've connected is by volunteering to help out with First Fridays. During the summer, our church has a booth set up the first Friday of each month. This is a great way to connect with others and let them know about our church. I've had conversations with people who otherwise I never would have met. We've talked about Faith Community's preschool, the movie in the park, and other connections that they had with our church, such as they have a friend that attends this church, or their sister got married in this church, etc. And I've also used this opportunity to invite them to our church. During my first year on the team, I spearheaded a ministry fair. I feel this was a great way to encourage others to grow and to learn about all the activities that are happening here in the church, to become part of a group, such as Men of Faith, United Methodist Women, Youth, Choir, Children's Church, just to name a few. I've grown in my own faith by being a part of a Sunday school class, as well as a small group that meets a couple times a month outside of the church doors. As I strive to serve, I'm reminded of one of my favorite Bible passages, Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. What shall I come before come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. I have faith that God will stretch and shape me in ways to serve him that he has uniquely gifted me to do. Sometimes, as in this morning, it requires being outside of my comfort zone. But I believe that a life in the pursuit of God was not meant to be lived as a spectator. We are called to serve him and also to serve one another. I've named a few ways I have taken part in the ministries of this church. This morning, as you reflect on the message that Stephanie gave and the video that we saw, I challenge you to find ways that you can build a tower that will last. How can you build a tower? Has God put it in your heart to go on a mission trip? Would you like to help with VBS this year? How about starting a Sunday school with people of like minds? Perhaps you'd like to receive the blessing of being part of a group that provides shoes for the shoeless or help with Common Cup. These are just a few of the many things that you could do. And last but not least, how would you like to make a difference in the life of a child? Each Sunday at 11 a.m., Jean Mills and I meet in Room 12 to have a worship service designed especially for children. We're looking for folks to volunteer just one Sunday out of the year. This would allow she and I to rotate months of leading the service so that we can participate in a worship service. You don't need to do any preparation. All you need to do is show up. We need to have two adults in the room at any given time. And I guarantee you that you'll get more out of it than you put into it. It's such a blessing to see the smiling faces of the kids each week. And if you are willing to help, see me after the service or at any time, you can talk to Jean or myself. Thanks, and God bless all of you.